You're listening to 90.3 Near FM, Northside Today with myself, Johnny Holmes. Now I'm joined with Rose Conway-Walsh, TD Sinn Féin, to talk about the need for a pandemic payment to continue for students and also why students are quite better off with the Sinn Féin government. Good morning, Rose. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Johnny. Isn't it nice to hear some music?
Absolutely, yeah.
Amidst everything.
Yes, exactly. Yes, just to brighten our spirits, and especially this hour of the morning. Rose, the pandemic unemployment payment was given to students back in March if they lost their jobs, like many other people did. Would it be correct to say that now, you know, as they're back in college and with no part-time work, the payment has been discontinued?
Yes, well, it hasn't actually. They haven't made a decision on that yet. But for the past number of weeks, I have been urging them to leave it to students. And the reason I have is that this was very clearly linked to employment and employment opportunities. So where students had employment prior to COVID, then they should be entitled to it. So they shouldn't be discriminated against just because they were now attending college. And we know the situation, the financial situation that many students and families find themselves in. So I suppose as well, Johnny, it doesn't just affect the student in itself, but most of the money comes from parents and from households who are really suffering at this particular time. So I think I think in leaving the PUP payment to the students, I think it's the right and proper thing to do.
Okay. Roughly what percentage of students in college or university actually need to have a part-time job in order to survive?
Well, I don't know the exact percentage, but it's a very high percentage because, you know, we spoke before about the number of people in particular that are excluded from SUSE. So they get no funding at all. And then you have the other situation where the SUSE hasn't been increased since 2012. And the costs have gone up so much since then. So we do know that in the research that we have done, that 4 out of 5 students are experiencing severe financial stress. So all of that tied together, it makes no sense to be taking that money off students. And I know families that are really, really dependent on that for their student to be able to go to college. But, you know, I suppose the thing, I also feel very strongly about the over 66s, by the way, in terms of the PUP payment, that they were excluded from that because they shouldn't be discriminated against either because of their age, because there are many over 66s who are really dependent on their jobs for an income as well and who lost their jobs because of COVID. So we're saying that PUP is about people who have lost their jobs. So that should be whether you have lost your part-time job, then you get a reduced rate, or whether you lost your full-time job. That you have money to be able to exist on until such time as there are employment opportunities available again.
Yes. Would jobs for students be mainly in the hospitality sector? For example, bars, restaurants, most of which are now closed, in fact, due to pandemic.
Yes, Johnny, you see they are, and that's why, and they're very kind of low wage, so many of them were on the minimum wage anyway, but they really have no chance at all under level 3 and the possibility now even of going to level 4. They haven't a hope in hell of getting employment, and they were dependent on that employment to get them through their third level year. You know, so that's, and then you have obviously, and you know, postgrads as well, and PhD students on top of that. So I think it's about looking after people and looking after their financial situation. These are all hardworking students who, you know, have worked. You know, I have lots of emails from students who are in maybe third or fourth year who have worked all their way through college and were wholly dependent on the fact that they would be able to have a part-time job. And it's, please God, it's only a temporary thing, you know, just to get them by these months that they can stay on a college, because nobody is served by students having to give up their courses and to finish their education before it's due. That we want people to complete their education cycle and then to go out and get, you know, gainful employment. And obviously they will pay that back many times more to society if they get the qualifications they need. So it's an investment in young people, and that's the way I would see the PUP.
Yes, of course. Is it true that university and college fees in Ireland are the highest in the EU?
They are the highest, yes. So now that the UK are leaving the EU, they are the highest. And there's no explanation for it. You know, that's why we said in our alternative budget that we would abolish the student contribution charge, starting with the €500 at least reduction in 2020. Now, that would cost €13.43 million. But you're talking about student fees of €3,000. And again, you know, you have parents and families going to credit unions, even some going to money lenders, to try and get the money together for their youngsters to go to college. So we really have to, and I would hope that with the development of the new department that there now, that there's more concentration of this. And I have spoken to the minister about it, and in fairness, I do think he agrees with me in terms of we have to reduce those fees, because what's happening, Johnny, is that the universities in the third level sector have been so starved of funding over the years. We know that the levels of payment per student, say, to the universities is now 50% less than it was in 2008. So you have the situation where students and their families are filling the gap in terms of the funding shortfall that's there for universities, and that has to, you know, we have to look at that in terms of the public service that it provides and the investment in young people and the investment in education that's going to help the whole of society as we go forward, and certainly as we come out of this pandemic.
Yes. What about for non-EU students, say students from India or China, aren't college fees much higher for them?
They are, yeah, but then you would say, well, they can afford to if they you know, if somebody from another country sends their student, you know, in the same way as somebody from here, say, going to America or going to some other country, they are high fees. But to be really honest with you, just at this particular time, I haven't done any studies into the fees for the international students. They are high, but I suppose that is a choice that people make. Whereas here, I don't believe that third-level education is a choice. I believe it's something that people have to do. Now, that can take the form of further education in terms of apprenticeships and other things that people may wish to do as well. But I think it's very important for people to go on after second level to get the skills and to get the education that they need to get to be able to you know, fulfill their potential. And that's all we want for everybody, I suppose, is that we would have a republic that where everybody could fulfill their potential. But for international students, I suppose that has left a big gap in the university funding as well for this year. We know that I think it's something like 328 million is the overall cost of COVID. And part of that for the universities is that they won't have the same number of international students as they might have had in other years. And we can't have an education system that's dependent on fees from international students. You know, we must publicly fund educational institutions effectively so that you're not dependent on a private sector or international students. Now, they're very welcome to come here and to be educated here and to live here, but we have to make sure that the education system is robust enough to be able to serve the needs of everybody on the island.
Would most students pay the cost of rented accommodation themselves if needed, because their parents can't afford it anyway?
They do, you see, and that's why they'd be dependent on employment as well, is that they would use that to pay for their accommodation. Now, you know, Johnny, how much accommodation has gone up in recent years. Now, people might put up the argument, well, this year they're doing it online, so they won't have accommodation costs. But there's a ferocious number of students who have paid accommodation costs and who are now looking to have those costs refunded. And many of them are landing on my desk because they're having great difficulties, particularly with private landlords, in terms of getting that money back for student accommodation that they had to pay up front before they knew what their timetables were. So, you know, it's just like a storm that's hitting students and young people at this particular time in terms of trying to access education. You know, even the isolation of trying to, you know, work online. We have the broadband problems that you may not have here in Dublin, but you have in other areas, and indeed maybe you have. But also I'm concerned, Johnny, about the number of households where students are living in. And you may have addiction problems, you may have mental health issues, you may just have general disquiet within a household that is not conducive to the student participating fully in their online lectures. And my fear is that then they would feel isolated and not be able to participate in the way that they might be able to do if they were on campus and having all the supports there as well. So I think we need to mind our young people. We need to listen to them. We need to work for them, you know, and we need to make things as easy as possible in a very difficult and challenging year.
Yes, well, not meaning to paint a bad picture, we are in the midst of a massive surge in COVID-19 deaths and cases, sadly. And not meaning to speculate either, but chances are we may be at level 5, you know, restrictions if the trend continues as it is. And with this in mind, there really are little or no options for students to find part-time job, unless perhaps in essential retail. What's your views?
Yeah, no, there is very little chance. I know because people are contacting me. I also know because I know a lot of youngsters even from at home. So you have the bit in retail, so you'll have the essential services like in the supermarkets where they can get employment. But then you have to remember that all of those who have lost their jobs are also competing with students for that work as well. So say people who've been laid off from hotels. You know, even in the vicinity here, there's hundreds and hundreds of people who have been laid off. And all of these people have mortgages and car loans and everything else that they need to pay for. And they are competing with students for the work that normally would be there for students. You know what I'm saying? So there is little chance of them getting employment. And I think we may as well accept that at this stage, that the vast majority of students will not be getting any income from employment for the next number of months. And what do we do to support them? And the way we can support them in a very simple way is to allow the PUP payment to continue for them. Now, I know we estimate the PUP payment, it would cost overall, this is not just for students, but overall, if the amounts were to be reinstated as well, 9.7 million a week, you might say that's a lot of money. But you have to remember that that money is not being saved. That money is going out again into the community and into businesses to protect jobs. So you have the multiplier effect of that money as well. So it just makes sense, and it certainly makes sense to me not to be taking money out of people's pockets at this particular time, whether they be, you know, 18, 19, or whether they be over 66. We have to leave people with enough money to be able to, I wouldn't even say live on, but to be able to exist on until such time as things get better.
OK, so let's say it continues, the PUP. Would this affect the grant they are receiving?
No, it shouldn't. Now, there are just so many people that aren't getting the SUSE grant, you know, and the SUSE grant covers so little as it is. As I said, it hasn't been increased since 2012. So that is not enough for students to survive on just the SUSE grant. You know, by the time you have paid for books and you have paid for everything else that's associated with college, it's just not enough. So I know it certainly should not be affecting their grant in any way. But, you know, as I say, there's so many who don't get anything. And I'm thinking in particular, you know, Johnny, of frontline workers and that who are on a very modest wage, that they are excluded because the thresholds are so low for SUSE, and those thresholds need to be looked at as well. We looked at that as well within our budget in raising the income threshold for the SUSE grants by just 10%. Now, again, that would cost 6.66 million. But I was disappointed that the government didn't do that in terms of thresholds. Now, they did, and I welcome it for gross postgraduate students. There was an increase there. In the SUSE grant there for for them and in the eligibility as well threshold for the postgraduate students, and that certainly was badly needed.
Okay. Rose, what's your view on the Minister for Social Protection's response to the issue?
I think that I was very, very disappointed overall that they didn't reinstate the PUP payments. And I don't think there's a realisation there of what families are going through at this particular time. And the number of bills, whether it be food bills, utility bills, loans that people would have had out because people weren't expecting this, in trying to finance all that. I think there was a major mistake made in the budget that those the PUP payments weren't reinstated to the levels that were needed in March and April, because the way we're looking at things now and the way the figures are looking, we're in the same situation, if not even worse, at this time. And we cannot address the situation and the crisis that we're in by taking more money out of people's pockets. We need to at least ensure that they have modest amounts of money to be able to just keep their head above water. And that's why I would believe that this government are out of touch with ordinary people and the struggles that ordinary people are going through at this time. And we have to remember as well, I mean, there was a recent pay rise there for politicians of something, I think, like €2,000-€3,000. So why would you do something like that? Why would you give a pay rise to politicians and take a PUP payment away, or take the raise level of PUP payment away for, at the same time, from people who are struggling? It doesn't make sense. It just isn't.
Yes.
It isn't right.
Yes.
And that's why I didn't take, and I know my Sinn Féin colleagues didn't take, we haven't taken at the last five pay rises, I think it is, because just to show some solidarity with people who are really struggling at this time.
Well,
just
fair play,
help
fair
people
play
get
to
over
you.
This gap.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's the least, I think, that that we could do. But I think our important job within Sinn Féin is to hold the government to account, and to get them to see that things, you know, these headline figures of millions and billions doesn't cut it with many people when you break it down. Johnny, I was looking at it even in terms of, you know, I had a healthcare assistant ring me the other day, as many of them ringing me, but she messaged me for the budget and said, you know, is there anything in it for us? And I had to tell her, like, 10 cents, you're getting an extra 10 cents an hour with the raise of the minimum wage. Now, she was like, you know, I've been through the last wave of COVID, where they had to sit and hold the hands of the dying. And now they're going through the second wave of COVID, doing the same thing, where families can't get into nursing homes and all that. We're so dependent on our healthcare assistants and healthcare workers. And yet we're telling them that they're worth an extra 10 cents an hour. Then we look at family carers who haven't had a break for so long. And what we've told them is that they're actually worth a whole 41 cent a day. It's not right. It's not right. That's all family carers got in it. And they haven't had a break because you haven't had respite and all that for months and months. And they're going to, you know, 24/7. And we tell them 41 cent. No, the inequality gap continues to widen in this country. And it has to be addressed. Has to be addressed. And I suppose that's our job within Sinn Féin, is to hold government to account and to dig below the headline figures that, you know, we're all in this together and we're all, you know, we're all okay now. We've had a windfall budget. It might have been a windfall budget, but for many there was nothing or very, very little, you know.
Yes,
not disgraceful,
not,
to be honest.
It's not about
I don't want to be negative.
Yes.
I don't want to be negative because I think people need hope at this time. And I suppose all I can do is assure them that in terms of third level education, assure them that we will continue to work on their behalf and fight on their behalf for basic human rights.
Okay. And finally, Rose, on a slightly separate issue, and I know you kind of touched on it already, how does the 2021 budget compare to Sinn Féin's alternative in terms of third level education? Now, you already mentioned, I know, the intention was to phase out gradually the university and college fees, beginning with €500, I think, per term per student immediately.
Now, we're doing some exploring of the budget at the moment because there are questions to be answered around it, Johnny. And I very much welcome what the government is saying. They're saying there's over 10,000 upskilling and reskilling opportunities. You know, that's in retrofitting courses and SkillNet and all of that. I think they're all very good things. But we need to know, are they on top of what was already announced? Because a lot of the time you can find that things are announced and re-announced. So they're saying there's 4,000 apprenticeships available at 8 million. But we proposed a 74 million in terms of apprenticeships because we think an awful lot can be done there and expanding the apprenticeships that are needed. We also looked in our budget in terms of them expanding the eligibility for mature independent students for the SUSE grant to include over 25s who are living with their parents. Because what's happened, Johnny, is that many people, because of accommodation costs and COVID and losing their jobs, have had to move back in with their parents. And that excluded them from being assessed independently for the SUSE grant system. So we looked at that and we know by allocating 2.9 million there, we could allow for them to be independently assessed, which would allow people access to third level as well. Now, the other thing is, I do welcome, and I suppose people need to know about this, the government announced a 50 million one-off hardship fund for students. And that is very welcome and very needed. But we need the details of that. There has been some mentions of a €250 per full-time third-level student. But again, we have questions in to Minister Harris on how that will be distributed. Because also, I think it would be unfair to just put it at full-time third-level students because you have many people with disabilities, for instance, who their disability may not be conducive to them participating full-time in education, but they may be doing very robust and very legitimate part-time courses. And I don't think that they can be excluded from that. So there were some good measures in the budget, which I welcome. But there's much more that needs to be done. And I suppose in our budget, we showed that as well. We also provided for some core funding of 60 million for the institutions of higher education. Again, recognising that that's not nearly enough, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
OK, right. So we're going to have to leave it at that, Rose, because time has actually caught up with us. We're on the button. So thank you very much again for joining us. And it was lovely talking with you, as always. And all the very best and take care. Take care out there.
Thank you very much, Johnny. Good morning.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Now, that was Rose Conway-Walsh, I beg your pardon, TD for Sinn Féin on issues concerning third-level students.